Hello, this is Richard Carafell from Agility, and welcome to a special episode of PR Profiles, a video series and podcast where we chat with experts in the PR and communications industry. We're interrupting our regularly scheduled programming to bring you some bonus content in celebration of 75 years of the Public Relations Society of America. And today, we're speaking with Dr. Felicia Blow. She is the 2022 PRSA Chair and Associate Vice President for Development at Hampton University. Hi, Felicia.
Hello, Richard. How are you?
Thank you. I'm doing very well, thank you. And thank you so much for joining us and making a little time for a special edition of PR Profiles.
Excellent. So glad to be here.
Okay, wonderful. Now, first of all, just tell us a little bit about yourself and this special occasion, as well as your role at Hampton University.
I'm glad you said that. Hampton University is a big part of my life. I serve as Associate Vice President for Development at really what I consider a preeminent, premier, historically Black university in America, an HBCU, Hampton University. In my role, I serve as a chief fundraiser, and through this process, I leverage every last PR, Stratcom, marketing skill that I feel I possess. Relationship building, writing, research, meetings, events, preparation of news releases, social engagement, web. But more than that, I feel like I am giving back in a magnanimous way through all the work I do as a relationship officer at this auspicious institution, particularly in this time of racial awakening in America and beyond. The importance of HBCUs has never been greater in my judgment. So it really has been a privilege of my life to work here at Hampton and bring to bear what I do here at Hampton to my work in PRSA.
That's fantastic. So, and a very collaborative profession and association that you have going there with Hampton University, and fits right in with your role in PRSA. So wonderful. Thank you, Felicia. Now, as I mentioned, and as we know, the PRSA is celebrating its 75th anniversary throughout the year of 2022. And to mark the milestone event, PRSA is publishing its limited edition book, 75 Years of Impact and Influence, People, Places, and Moments in Public Relations History, which showcases the history of the profession through the people and events that helped shape international discourse and transform the business world. You said in a LinkedIn post that the book was a nearly two-year process. So could you tell us just a little bit more about the ideation and creation of it?
Happy to. And one of the things about me, to a fault, is I like to give credit where credit is due. And she hates it when I talk about her, but Grace Leong in early 2021, she's president and CEO of Hunter PR. I went to her with this concept. 75 years, I just don't want to do something, Grace, that is going to be balloons and confetti, and then we have a party and say goodbye. I want to do something that has resonance, that has impact, and looks at not just the past, but pivots more to the future. What is our industry going to look like in 25, 50, 75 years? So I'll never forget her feedback to me. She says, Felicia, nobody wants to read another boring history book. So, about PRSA, think about what you want. And so I start thinking about Time Magazine. You know, it's People of the Year and People, the 100 Most Beautiful People. Not to say this is about beauty or anything like that, but it grounded the concepts around these folks who are hidden figures in PRSA, in PR, and not just PRSA. That's another thing that's important, Richard. This is not just about PRSA. PRSA is a moment, certainly is, but the industry and this profession's influence nationally and dare I say internationally deserve to be lauded in such a way that gives young practitioners an opportunity. So we got a group of, after that enlightening conversation with Grace, got approval from the board, did a budget. Because of what I do at Hampton University, I fundraised in partnership with a couple other individuals, raised every dime that was needed to publish this book. After we finished the fundraising, we got busy, or maybe even simultaneous to, and I don't want to understate the fundraising as a big deal, you know, but that's what I do. I love fundraising, especially for a major cause. We got a group of thought leaders together. Andy Polanski, Shelley Spector, Charlie Brown, the former U.S. Navy Global Chief of Public Information. I mean, the list goes on and on. And we started talking about curating moments that everybody of this very large 20-plus person team felt were moments in over the last 75 years. We used rubrics to kind of whittle the moments down. We categorized them for business and, you know, what have you, government. But for me, one of the most important factors was to separate the moments from the people. So we also had a deliberative process, and it went on for multiple months. Do we include agency heads? Do we not? Do we only include deceased individuals? I mean, it was an arduous process that took multiple months. I can't believe I've made this, you know, done this love letter to PRSA without any remuneration. Meaning it took a lot of time, and I shouldn't say I can't believe, but this truly was a major contribution.
It sure sounds like it. And I bet that choosing only 25 key moments was a challenge in and of itself. You described the process that you went through to kind of whittle that list down, but there must have been some moments in there that you knew just had to make it into the book.
You better believe
no
it.
Matter you what. Yeah. Can you tell
it.
Us a couple
it,
of those?
So people know who Cutlip and Broom are if you're in PR. You know who Ivy Lee is. You know Page Society. But what you don't know are those hidden figures, women and minorities in particular. So individuals behind the civil rights movements as they related to the women's movement, minority, underserved populations, but also those individuals that you don't hear about, such as Inez Kaiser. Carter Woodson, Doris Fleischman, Don Padilla. These folks are momentous, but we don't talk about them in the same way we talk about those others. Richard Edelman is another one that we talk a lot about, but Muriel Fox is not. It was critically important that we paid homage to those who, again, were the hidden figures of PR.
I see. Yes. And this is the time and the occasion, right, to bring all those names and people to light so that everyone knows how it all went down. And you know, as we know, the PR profession has certainly changed, you know, quite a bit over that period, you know, from being seen largely as, you know, we had the reputation of spin doctors to now how we measure the results of PR and other you know, more analytic approaches. So in what ways have you seen the profession develop? And what role do you think organizations like PRSA, the standards they set and the communities they foster, have played?
I am so glad you raised this question, because that was at the center of why I believe I was so successful in the fundraising effort. And it wouldn't have come to pass about the contributions. So let's just say this. This was not an endeavor that came out of the PRSA operating fund. I continue to say I'm not a hack. I'm not simply a publicist. I'm not a spin doctor. What we do, what you do, what our brethren do, we serve as the conscience of our organizations. We play major roles in moving our organizations forward. We help in driving understanding of why our employees should be the advocates for us, and inviting them to help us lean in and or step up where we need to. So for me, we need to embrace technology as a profession much more. AI is changing everything. You hear often that practitioners say they don't understand finances, they don't understand computers. Well, that's got to change. I may not be able to program, but we had a little bit of a technical snafu. And what did our creative mind start doing? We started thinking about all the options to make this conversation come to pass. We got to do that and not just depend on the IT person. We need to embrace multiculturalism. I'm planning a global exchange with PRCAI, which is the predominant PR organization in India this winter. I work with a global task force to re-examine and launch for the first time Global Affairs Month within PRSA. The reason we need to embrace multiculturalism is not simply from a D&I perspective or that it's the right thing to do, but our constituencies are growing. Speed of communication is so fast, and the implications of what we do go beyond our small neck of the woods. We are strategists. We are digital communicators. We are brand advisors. I believe that PRSA is framing the points of view internally and externally that our profession is much greater than the PR in front of the SA. We do so much more, and public relations, those two words mean so much more. I don't know that we embrace fully the impact and the power of our profession, and now is the time to recognize, lean into it, and do just that. So I know that was a long-winded answer, and I dropped a whole lot of nuggets in there, but this is an important time, and I hope that made sense to you, Richard.
Oh, absolutely. It is an important time, and this is the perfect place to do that. Make a record of some of those things that you set out to accomplish, both as your, as an individual and as an organization there, and some of the bumps along the road and how you smoothed them out. So that's wonderful. Thank you. And you yourself, Dr. Blow, have a long career in history with PRSA. You were president of the PRSA Hampton Roads Virginia chapter in 2000, served as the board of directors member from 2013 to 2014, and before becoming chair, you were the 2021 chair-elect. Now, in your time as a member and leader of PRSA, how have you seen that organization change and grow to meet the needs of its members?
This is a difficult one for me because anyone who knows me knows that I am transparent and I speak truth to power. So, Truth be told, I believe that PRSA has a ways to go to continue the pivot to realize the organization that it can be. Without our members, this organization and other trade associations like it would be nowhere. Our members are the heartbeat of what we do. Said differently, PRSA has certainly advanced the call through our D&I efforts, our Voices for Everyone efforts, our intentions with PRSSA, which I believe is the future of this organization when we, really embrace and expand our engagement with students. We have come a long way. We have advanced the conversation. But Richard, if I'm being honest, we have to do more. Have to embrace the reins, that we hold of elevating through thought leadership, through not simply preaching to the choir, to going outside of the organization, to making sure that our professional development continues to be stellar. Since I joined PRSA, and let me say this too, you can't have ever spent as much time in an organization and given as much of yourself as you have if you don't love it. And I love PRSA. Organization helped me evolve and get to where I am. And without it, I don't think I would be the individual I am, the leader I am, the sought-after speaker that I have come to be. the professional that I am. So all that said, PRSA definitely has been a major light, and we have come a long way and advanced the profession, and we have some things that we're going to be doing, and I believe we will.
Well, that is wonderful. Thank you, Felicia, for that very frank answer. And it's certainly the case that even though PRSA has made great strides, there's always new places to go, and especially as the times change and as quickly as they are these days. If there was ever any doubt in anyone's mind that you didn't love PRSA, they just need to take a listen here to hear some of these fantastic things you're saying. Thank you, Felicia. That's terrific. All right, let me ask you this. So beginning in 2019, while you were serving as a senior counsel to the PRSA board, you led a strategic planning effort that concluded in the establishment of PRSA's first three-year strategic plan for diversity and inclusion. Could you tell us more about that plan and your time as co-chair of the Diversity and Inclusion Committee and how PRSA's DEI strategy has evolved?
Absolutely. I'm so happy to do so, Richard. We had a very, very engaged volunteer committee of members that I led as chair working on this effort. It was an exhaustive effort that ran probably 11 months and included both focus groups, individual conversations, and a quantitative study. And in terms of the motivation, because of the changing demography of America, it was critically important for us to understand what our members thought about engaging in diversity and in the industry and within PRSA. So in the way of things that I'm most proud of, I really am proud of the work that we have done to date. In the way of milestones, we have incorporated unconscious bias training at every annual leader rally for new PRSA members, and that's big. And this year, we also launched two new affinity groups for Black and Hispanic or Latino voices, which are designed to serve as major engagement opportunities. And we have expanded our programming to provide members with a greater understanding of the issues that they can incorporate in their own conversations at their organizations. And one big one that I'm really proud of is our Diverse Dialogues web series. I really believe that the way we structured the D&I plan worked at the time. It was a standalone, separate plan. But for 2023, one big point that is a major indicator of success in my judgment is that D&I will be integrated within the PRSA organizational strategic plan. Really, really, really good stuff. So the work does not end, goes on, but I truly believe that PRSA is at the front and leading the way for organizations, trade associations far and wide in this space.
Thank you for sharing all that. And those are some very good points, because this is a critical time for PR to help us steer the conversation, you know, about some of these things. And I think it sounds like we're in good hands to have that happen. So that's fantastic. Absolutely. Let me just ask you, Felicia, about the book, and how can people get their own copy of 75 Years of Impact and Influence?
If you visit PRSA.org, at the very top of the page, there is a link so that you can put in your order. Do it today. Mm-hmm. We want to sell out of this limited edition, because one half of all of the dollars go to membership scholarships. Said differently, 50% of every book sold helps a member, an individual that wants to be a member, that is a career switcher, that wants to enhance their professionalism, their abilities. So this is a party with a purpose, Richard.
Okay, sounds like it. Wonderful, wonderful. And everyone is going to love the book. I know you spent a lot of time developing it. There's a lot of key moments in there. Some of them may even surprise. So there's a lot to be seen there. I highly encourage everyone to do as Dr. Blue said and go over to prsa.org and sign up to get one. All right, now that's all the time we have today. So again, we've been chatting with Dr. Felicia Blue. She's the 2022 PRSA Chair and the Associate Vice President for Development at Hampton University. So thank you for joining us and making a little time. Felicia, we really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Absolutely. So we hope you enjoyed this special episode of PR Profiles brought to you by Agility PR Solutions. And our next episode is out Thursday, October 6th, where we'll be chatting with Daryl E. Owens, the Associate Vice President of Community and Engagement at Beacon College. So we've got an educational theme going here. So make sure you're subscribed to the PR Profiles podcast. Okay, and I am Richard Carafell with Agility PR Solutions. Thanks again for joining us today, and we will see you on the next episode.